Our gospel today is from the 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 21. It's on page 798. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then he told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was my summer job between my freshman and sophomore year of college. I was on the staff of a brand new summer attraction in Montana called the Big Sky Water Slide in the Flathead Valley. There were Canadian investors who came and built this attraction, the largest one in the state at that time. And they said, as we were being trained, that this place is going to pay for itself in 6 years. Sounds like a good business proposition, right? Second in line to own the business was a man named Jim. And Jim was, I'd say, probably in his mid-30s, no wife, no kids, just the business. I didn't think about Jim until his name appeared on the vertical list. Not vertical, like versus horizontal. Vertical, because we moved back to the Flathead Valley with our family, and one of the great blessings of living there was we lived in the town of Whitefish, which is at the base of a ski resort, Big Mountain Ski Resort. After a few years of being there, we got ski passes for our family, and every time you got on the lift, your card got scanned, and you would be tallied for vertical miles. How much vertical you did, how many runs you did, was kept track of. It's kind of fun to check how many, you know, vertical feet you had skied in a year. And I checked that list, and then there was Jim, the guy that I met 20 years earlier, at the top of the list. Miles ahead of everyone else as far as vertical feet. And I talked to some of the lifties I knew who knew him and said, "Yeah, he comes every day. He skis every day, and he skis the same run every time because that gives him the fastest vertical climb. He wants to win the vertical challenge every year. But there's no prize. It's just bragging rights. There's no free pass, not even a meal, nothing. Just getting to be on the top of the list." Now, I can only compare him to me. But as much as I love to ski, doing that, the same run every day, just to win a silly contest, would not be my aspiration. Now, given he could be doing a lot worse things, he could be doing terrible things with his life, with his time and his money, but I want to ask you, would you call that purposeful living? Just skiing every day? The same run. Well, Jesus has another answer. "Follow me," he says. Ronnie worked at a Bible camp. He was a counselor support. That was his title. And Ronnie was special. He was sweet and sincere, loving and kind. He was on the autism spectrum. Very functional, but special. A talk was given at the chapel, the outdoor chapel, that particular day on today's gospel, when Jesus says, "Take up my cross and follow me." And the speaker left the campers and counselors with this question: what is holding you back from following Jesus? Jesus says, if you want to become my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Those who want to lose their life, or those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who will lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? And this speaker asked the campers, what do you need to let go of in order to gain Christ, to gain life in Christ? Think of a symbol of something you could bring with you and put up on the altar that's right here, this big piece of wood in front of us, and leave that item here as you think about what you could leave so that you could follow Christ. And slowly, the campers began to go forward, and some left some change they had in their pocket, symbolizing, I need to focus more on the Lord, not on my money so much. And some left a friendship bracelet saying, well, I spend too much attention and time focusing on my peers and what they think of me. I need to remember what the Lord thinks of me. Some left their sunglasses on the altar. I don't need to be cool anymore. That's kind of what I wanted to be, but I need to focus on my faith. Some their headphones, you know, music was really important to them, and I need to turn my attention. One left a football. Some of the counselors left car keys or house keys or even their wallet. Well, Ronnie walked up later after most of the group had already made their way to the altar. He lifted himself, and sat on the altar table. When he did that, people in the group had kind of an audible sigh, like, what is he doing? Did he not understand the question? It wasn't to bring yourself, it was to bring a symbol. But then as they thought about it, they realized he did understand the question. He didn't want to just bring a part of himself to follow Christ. He wanted to give his whole life to Jesus. His purpose was to follow Jesus, and everyone knew that that's what he was about. That was his heart's desire. He had a purpose much bigger than himself. Jesus' answer to purposeful living is follow me. A sense of purpose changes our lives. A sense of purpose changes our church. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to be focusing on the values that are at the core of who we are at Shepherd of the Hills to give our church a sense of purpose and unique. And so I wanted to start that off with this question. What is purposeful living? Where does a sense of purpose come from? Well, today's scripture gives us some great thoughts on that. First, we heard from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, in the middle of this kind of really hard time in Jeremiah's life, he's crying out to God, asking, God, where are you? What's going on? But he says these words in verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O God, O Lord God of hosts. Now, if I were to give you all a piece of gum, which I could have, but I didn't, you chew that. You got to chew it for a while before you start getting the flavor, right? And then you keep chewing it, it maybe even becomes more delicious. And pretty soon, or when you chew your food, you have to take it in and chew it. That's how you taste it. Chewing releases the flavor, allows the food to digest. It's the pre-digestion. It gives your body the nourishment that it needs. God's word, Jeremiah says, are meant to be digested, absorbed, if you will. Not just in one ear and out the other, but brought into our life so that they change us. Jeremiah is reminded here in the midst of the hardest time in his life and the life of Israel of his core identity. He is, it says, called by your name. Every one of us who are baptized have been called by God's name. We are his children. And he knows our name. It's not just random child, you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, Art. He says, John. He says, Ruby. He says, Dave, you are my child in our baptism. We are called to follow. Jesus' answer to purposeful living is follow me. What does that look like? What does a life of following Jesus look like? And what kind of life is that? Well, today Jesus gives what I would say is a pretty hard teaching to his disciples when he tells them to take up their cross and follow him. A cross is an instrument of death. It's an instrument of saying, I'm going to die for something much greater than myself. And Jesus did that, as we know. But he tells them that the way to purpose is to deny yourself. If you want to become my followers, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Because if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. If you want to lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Jesus is saying, follow me. And therein lies purpose and comfort. To follow Jesus directs our life path to a much greater purpose. Taking up your cross symbolizes a life of total commitment to Jesus. This is Ronnie sitting on the altar at that church camp. Deny yourself. Cease to make yourself the object of your life and actions. As Jesus said, for what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return to their life? Your physical life may be saved by denying Jesus, but eternal life will be lost. Following Jesus is the best life. Now, there are a lot of jokes about heaven, which we don't exactly know what heaven is like. So stay with me here. This joke story has nothing to do with biblical truth, okay? There's a couple who were getting up in the years, just retired, and the wife, found out all these new recipes, and she was going to turn their life around and start them on a healthy eating kick. So get rid of the high fat, get rid of the bad food, get rid of the junk food, we're going to eat healthy. And her husband went along with it, and they tried to improve their life. Well, about 10 years into that, they were driving on a nice Sunday drive, and a driver crossed the lane, head-on collision, and both of them died instantly. So they went up to heaven, and they're being shown around the pearly gates and all the beauty of heaven, and they're beautiful golf courses, there's beautiful food, there is everything you could ever imagine. There's banquets and the lovely people and celebration and joy. And the husband said to his wife, you and your health food, we could have been here 10 years ago if it wasn't for you. I had to do that just to kind of break the kind of serious topic about purposeful living. But you wonder, what kind of life is a life of purpose? What kind of life is this purposeful living all about? Well, we heard today in the book of Romans a pretty great description about what the Christian life is all about. There's a lot in this. And I want to just read it again slowly because it gives us the marks of what a true Christian is. And yet I don't want you to see this as like a checklist. Oh, I'm good at that. Good at that. Ooh, I'm not good at that, not good at that. It's not really a checklist of do all these things and you'll be perfect. It's a list of how we aspire to live our life, what we hope to be, how we hope to treat other people, how we hope to have perspective in our life. It is the marks of a true Christian, but not a checklist. It's more of a guide. So here is the answer to purposeful living, following Jesus. Paul writes, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another and do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, as I read that again, and I hope you maybe can think of this too, is that there's not really a single part of that description that I go, not interested. I'm not saying it's not easy, it's easy, because some of the things that are mentioned here are very difficult. To love your enemy, to not want revenge when someone wrongs you, to think only good things about people. You know, those are not the easiest things to do. But the Christian life is not the path of least resistance. It's aspiring to be more because we're following Jesus. Purposeful life is what we can aspire to be. And Jesus' answer to purposeful living is, follow me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote the book in the 1930s called The Cost of Discipleship. And a more contemporary theologian, Dallas Willard, wrote a quote which he calls the cost of non-discipleship. I think it really pertains here, and I've shared it before, about what this verse, what this aspiring to be a Christian is all about. What we give up, what we gain, and what we let go of if we turn the other way. This is the cost of non-discipleship. Non-discipleship costs abiding peace, a life penetrated throughout by love, faith that sees everything in the light of God's overriding governance for good, hopefulness that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances, power to do what is right and withstand the forces of evil. In short, it costs exactly that abundance of life Jesus said he came to bring. Jesus is inviting us to purpose, to life. And that comes when we say yes, follow him, and give our allegiance to him, and ask him to guide and direct us how we make decisions, how we treat others. And we're not going to get it perfect. That's not the goal. The goal is to honor him, to show that even in our brokenness and where we fail, God can be glorified because we know that we aren't God. We're not perfect, and yet he is. So friends, I invite you to embrace discipleship, to take up your cross, as it will, follow Jesus as he would want to live in your life as you glorify and honor him. Jesus' answer to a purposeful living is follow me. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the difficult words that are in your scriptures. Sometimes we would rather not focus on those. We like the comforting passages. We like the passages that just tell us you're okay. Keep on going along and doing how you're doing. But Lord, you call us to something greater, something more. He calls to a life of purpose, which means, as you describe it, not thinking just about ourselves, but really thinking about others, thinking about how we can honor others and help them and care for them, love them, not to be caught up in evil, but to be caught up in good. So, Lord, as we take up this challenge to live for you, to follow you, inspire us by your Holy Spirit to not get drugged down by discouragement and pain. But Lord, to give those things to you as well. Because Lord, you are the one that gives us hope, purpose, love, and peace. So we thank you for these good words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.